broadcasting live from the Encita Business Radio X studio in North Carolina, it's time for NC Tech Talk, where tech leaders come to tell their stories.
Hello and welcome to NC Tech Talk, North Carolina's internet radio broadcast covering the tech sector. I'm Mark Montoro, Senior Director of Programs with the North Carolina Technology Association, or Encita as we're affectionately known by our members, and your host for this month's show. For those of you unfamiliar with Encita, we are a not-for-profit trade association that represents the tech sector in North Carolina. We support economic growth through three initiatives: executive engagement, which is our term for events; public affairs, where we lobby in front of state and federal government on behalf of the tech sector; and knowledge workforce, which is workforce development and our initiative to help companies find the talent they need. If you ever want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, and we have a company page on LinkedIn. We are also streaming updates and comments on this and future shows at hashtag NCTechTalk. So this month's show is a little bit different because we'll be discussing both our guests' company as well as some of the activities that they've been doing recently. And we're going to be covering a few different topics. First is going to be a follow-up from last show where we talked a lot about company culture and some of the hiring. So we have Britt Provost, who is the VP of People and Culture with Aptivia. So hey, Britt, how are you?
I'm great.
Good, good. And also joining us is Tim Martin. He's the Chief Operating Officer for UCX. Tim, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
Good. So, Britt, let's start with talking to you and tell us a little bit about your company and what makes you unique.
Sure. Aptio focuses on providing technology to those that are in the business of IT. We actually call this technology business management. It's a new business segment. CIOs have never had a dedicated tool specifically for them, kind of like a CRM or an HRIS system. So the tool set allows the CIOs and their teams to have transparency into the spend of IT and insights into the structure. So these insights often lead to cost savings, which is a really important part of our business and the promise that we can give to our customers. Mm-hmm. So we believe that, you know, creating wildly successful customers is part of our job, and we do so every day with the employees that we have on our team.
Very interesting. So I picked up a little bit upon your product, and you were mentioning that it's a CRM system for CIOs, where I know that the basic CRM system, people always like to know about that relationship management, the contacts, mm-hmm. what they're spending. Is there anything different about your product that is specific to the CIO role?
It actually looks very specifically at the technology stack mm-hmm. and how the monies that are spent. So from when you're starting to look at that cost transparency, how the monies are spent across that stack. So I know we're going to talk to Tim in just a moment. We look at cloud, for example, mm-hmm. and what the spend is for cloud.
Interesting. So what brought Aptio here to North Carolina? How long have you been here, and what really made that decision to get here?
So a couple of years. I mean, we're only really a seven-year-old company. Okay. So we've been here for the majority of the time. It's an ideal location on the East Coast. It's close to many of our customers. They're actually here based in the same area that we are, so we can spend time with them personally and you know, directly. Mm-hmm. And it's an excellent place for talent.
And I know that's the focus of our conversation here. So we're talking a little bit about some of those technology and recruiting trends that you found. When you're looking for the talent you needed, what can you tell us about your observations of the market here?
Sure. Well, look, technology recruiting is hard everywhere, and here is no exception. Mm-hmm. What we're finding is, and you know, this is my personal perspective, but talent, it's no longer about sort of the LinkedIn old school way of connecting with people. It's actually about getting access to talent. They have to know who you are, what you do, what they get to do when they work with you, and who they get to work with. And by providing that access, you get a better connection with the people that are going to come work with you. So one of the things, for example, we're doing here in North Carolina is focusing on open houses where people have an opportunity to come in, spend time with us. They may not be looking for that specific role at that specific time, but they get a chance to see who we are and what we do, and we get a chance to see who they are and what they want to do. So it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. You talk about usually kind of the traditional model where it's the person seeking a job that wants to come in and sell themselves to the company, but there's also that aspect of the company selling themselves to the employees. So mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that. What did you find with your company culture that really helps you attract the talent you're looking for?
You know, I think a lot of it goes back to our values. I think the way we project ourselves, one of our key corporate values and company values is we have this idea of glass half empty, where we're continuously improving. And I think that's appealing to people because they're always thinking about how they can have impact and influence to change the way a company works. And I think, again, that opportunity to come in and do that in a company that's a reasonable size with a reasonable access for them to talk to senior leaders and, you know, just, again, have the opportunity to share their ideas and impact the business. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing.
You mentioned the open house that you have. Is that kind of a conversation that you have right up front with these people coming mm-hmm. in? Or is that something more that you kind of want to vet them out and bring them in for an interview process before you start talking about that type of vision?
Actually, you know, usually we find folks through LinkedIn or whatever the other sort of venues are, start talking to them about Apptio, but encourage them that the open house is a way to learn more. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the middle point of the conversation, trying to get them to actually talk to us. The challenge is, and I think the statistic is that for every technologist, there are 5 opportunities that they could go to tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You have to change the dynamic about how you're mm-hmm. interacting with people.
So it obviously, when you're talking about kind of that interaction, your employees kind of have their own demographic of Apptians. So
yes.
What qualities really embody what you look for when you're finding your next Apptian?
Well, I think smart is one of the first things. I think intellectually curious, very focused on problem solving, wanting to come into that glass half empty culture, one that's focused on continuous improvement, mm-hmm. An individual that's really customer focused. Again, I'll talk about wildly successful customers and how that's so critical to everything we do. So people really have to have that focus. And I think, being able to live the values. We talk about it as bleeding orange, just a way that you sort of show your connection to the company and what we're trying to do and the mission of, again, creating those wildly successful customers.
Yeah. So when you're having those conversations, obviously your own story can come into that play when you're trying to say why I joined Apptio.
Totally.
And that. So why don't you tell us about your story and how you joined them?
Sure. It's funny because the other thing I recommend as a professional in HR is if you want to find a good company, go through employee referral. Talk to the people you know and have them refer you. And I'm actually an employee referral.
Okay.
So my CEO's executive assistant and I had worked together at 2 previous companies, mm-hmm. and I had recruited her the last time, and she recruited me this time and
wow.
told me that she thought it would be a really good match. She thought I would be a great fit for the culture and wanted me to meet Sunny Gupta, who is our CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it started.
That's great. So I'm going to ask how you learn more, but what I obviously picked up on was a sign of the times when you're saying it was old school to use LinkedIn now. So kind of how do you, said you mentioned use it to find the talent, but
yep.
what are some ways that other than an employee referral that somebody can learn more about opportunities and kind of really get at least their resume mm-hmm. In front of you guys?
Well, I think it is finding the people that are connected to the company and reaching out directly. I think employees mm-hmm. are the best ambassadors. So 30% of our employees come from employee referral. That's
wow.
a big number.
Yeah, that's great.
And it really, again, helps us kind of keep our culture strong. So I am going to encourage you, if you see somebody that is connected to Apptio, reach out to them and ask them about their experience. You can certainly reach out to us on our website, through Twitter, through Facebook, through Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to give you a sense of what life at Apptio is like through those methods. And anybody can reach out to me at any time. That's my job.
Yeah. And so just the last question as we close out, what is that future look ahead for Apptio when you're telling them where the company's going in direction and why it's a great place to work? What are you going to tell them to expect to see?
Sure. We just had our technology business management conference a couple weeks ago where we have a partnership with a nonprofit
mm-hmm.
That we are the advisor to. And the news was amazing just in terms of, continued customer success, opportunity for us to go faster mm-hmm. in terms of getting people to value mm-hmm. With our product. And the opportunity to do more with the product. So we're looking at different ways to think beyond just technology business management and expand that. So the future looks bright, and I'm really excited to be part of the company.
Well, that's great. We look forward to hearing more about it. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, good. That wraps up our first interview. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Tim Martin with UCX to talk a little bit more. Thanks for listening to NC Tech Talk. Welcome back to NC Tech Talk, where we just spoke with Britt Provost over at Apptio about their company culture and some talent needs, heard some great things about that organization. We're going to pivot a little bit now and talk with Tim Martin, our next guest, who's the Chief Operating Officer at UCX. If you want to learn more about us at Enseta, you can join us at nctechnology.org or our Twitter handle, which is at NCTA. And we also have a company page on LinkedIn. All of these updates and comments are going to be streaming live on our Twitter feed, so you can always follow that at @NCTechTalk. So now we're going to transition to Tim. He, again, is the COO over at UCX, which is Universal Compute Exchange. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, everybody likes to hear, the conversation about cloud, which is a big part of what you guys do, but they always want to hear about what's different about the cloud and how that evolves. So tell us a little bit about your organization.
Sure. So UCX is an on-demand spot exchange for companies to buy and sell the cloud, essentially trade it. So in partnership with SixFusion here in Raleigh, we've licensed their workload allocation cube, the WAC, which takes the 6 core components of compute processing power, and it boils it down to one standardized unit of measure, which we then employ on our exchange, where companies can buy and sell and trade.
Interesting. So that primary service offering, again, what are the partners that you're dealing with? How do you actually create that stack that you're offering?
Sure. So we actually kind of look at ourselves as an exchange as a service, which is a unique concept. But we work with buyers and sellers. So on one side of the market, we have cloud service providers right now, typically mid-market sized providers, private cloud, public cloud offerings. And then on the buy side, we have anything from a startup to a small, medium-sized business to an enterprise. Just kind of depends what they're looking for. An ideal fit right now, we've seen a lot of project work, research labs, companies that are looking for short-term bursts of cloud utility to utilize on a different project.
And you mentioned SixFusion. So tell us about their role in your partnership and how that distinguishes between, say, some other cloud offerings.
Absolutely. So SixFusion and the WAC is key to what we're trying to do. So suppliers, when they come to the exchange, ultimately have to meter their infrastructure. With that being said, on the exchange itself, we go by a consumption-based model. So in traditional Amazon, Rackspace, IBM, so on and so forth, it's an allocation-based model, so where you are paying for what the cloud service provider allocates for you. SixFusion allows us to shift to a consumption-based model, which we find is less wasteful. So ultimately, somewhere between 20 and 50% of each instance is left or is utilized. So we end up eliminating waste and making cost savings more efficient.
That sounds like that's particularly useful for that SMB market, because you can customize and kind of scale it to the size of the company. So
we talk to a lot of small businesses in particular, where they're on Amazon and they've got all these instances and they don't know how to manage them, and they're basically following the guidance of their IT guy, which a lot of times isn't even internal, and they're spending money without really understanding it. So what we try and do is let them, through usage of the WAC, start to understand how much they're actually consuming, and you can see how much is actually being wasted. So we're ending up saving companies a lot of money. And then on the flip side, we have multiple providers on our exchange competing for your business now. So rather than just going to one service provider and they're basically dictating what things are going to cost, we have multiple businesses essentially competing for your business in a true marketplace.
So that touched on the cost side, which everybody likes to say that's one of the advantages of the cloud, but security is also one of those. So
Sure. What
is that when you're talking about mixed public offering or offerings between public and private cloud? The first thing everybody wants to know is how secure is it? So how does UCX answer that question? What's your security strategy?
Sure. For me personally, security is my number one concern. All you got to do is turn on the media these days and somebody is getting hacked. So what we did is we partnered with the Cloud Security Alliance, which is a nonprofit organization that is essentially laying out a framework or guidelines for the industry to follow, saying these are best practices. So the first thing we do is, following their STAR framework, is all of our suppliers have to complete a level one self-assessment. We then take the self-assessment, and we've actually partnered with a third-party Plant Moran, which is a CPA firm headquartered in Chicago, but they've got 300 and some odd partnerships around the country who will come out and actually audit the self-assessment, as well as where we're working towards in 2016 is they'll actually go out on site and check the SOX and all the different compliance checks for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll security is huge.
Kind of alleviates that risk, so that's good. So the next part that a lot of people talk about, hey, what's the flexibility? How can I get exactly what I need when it comes to that cloud offering? So how do you customize your offerings to your companies to help benefit them the most?
Sure. So what's unique about UCX is we're focused on standardizing as much as possible to make it really, really simple for businesses to understand.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, we do feature a contract specification, which is standardized. However, because just like any other exchange that exists, we have over-the-counter trades. So if you're looking for a unique compliance or unique configuration that doesn't necessarily fit under our standardization, we're able to accommodate that as well. So we're flexible as it can get.
Mm-hmm. You'd also mentioned a couple partnerships that you had, and one in particular that we wrote down was just about the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Tell us about that partnership and how that benefits your customers.
Sure. Yeah, the CME makes us very, very relevant, mm-hmm. and did so very quickly. The CME is backing and supporting the development and creation of UCX. What that means is they help us with all of our different rules. If we have questions on how we should handle certain things as we develop out the foundation of the exchange, they're there to support us. And they've also licensed us the ability to utilize their liquid trading platform, which is run on something like 10 exchanges around the world. Hmm. Very robust. We joke about it. We use about 1% of the functionality that exists there. But it's thorough, it's tested, and what that allowed us to do is get speed to market really, really quickly rather than spending years and probably millions of dollars building out our own trading platform. We've mm-hmm. been able to leverage Liquid. And most importantly, what they've done is they've licensed from us the ability to trade WAC derivatives and essentially options and future products. So we are the spot exchange. And once we grow enough volume and liquidity, they will create future contracts, just like you see in trading oil or electricity or any other commodity that exists.
Interesting. And so we're talking about kind of the development of your organization. And mm-hmm. sounds like you've obviously had a lot of help with partnerships, being able to get your product to market. But the next side is, how do you monetize it? When are you going to make money? But you were talking about an interesting project where you're actually offering your product to a lot of small, medium-sized businesses that qualify. So what is this Project Alpha? And tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we introduced Project Alpha, I guess, about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it's $20,000 free for anybody who signs up to utilize UCX. It's basically a risk-free introduction to UCX. And we just want to incentivize businesses, small businesses, startups, to come look at UCX. There's a better way of doing things. And hey, by the way, we stand behind what we're doing here. Here's essentially $20,000 free to get started.
Yeah, it says a lot that you're saying, get it for free and see how you like it.
Exactly. I met a guy. Here's how quickly it can work. I met a guy last week on Wednesday, a DevOps guy at an incubator in Charlotte. And 2 days later, he was already up and running on the exchange. And
wow.
By Saturday, he had his configurations deployed and everything. So he was off and running. So that's the idea behind it. It's to get somebody to move to UCX very quickly, see how fast and powerful the exchange actually is.
Is there any specific qualification that you look for those companies? I mean, is it really just one of these where we say, we stand by our product so much, we just want you to come in and try it?
Yeah, so a qualifying company basically just needs a credit card that mm-hmm. has a valid expiration on it. Yeah, just a proof of payment, because ultimately when they hit the threshold of 20,000, they will then turn into, hopefully they stay with us, mm-hmm. a paying customer. So we just need something that validates that when that threshold is hit, that they have a mechanism to pay with it.
Yeah. So this product offering is kind of unique. It's something that seems like it's cutting edge. But if you're saying, what does that look ahead again? What are we going to expect to see? How will your product offering evolve as you move from here?
Sure. So there's a couple different answers to that question. Right now, contract types, we have an East Coast and a West Coast WAC. So depending on where you're located and you need your resources, we have different contracts for it. Where we go in 2016, we'll have it more regionalized. So instead of it just being East WAC, we'll have a Southeast WAC. We'll have a Northeast, Midwest, Southwest, Northwest. We'll also have international components to that. And then with Six Fusion's involvement, they have intentions on releasing what we call intensive wax. So there'll be more CPU intensive wax or storage intensive wax, which will be, as Adam, our CEO, likes to say, kind of like barrels of oil. You've got Brent crude and you've got different types of oil essentially being traded. That's how we look at compute. So that's where we're going. Yeah.
Well, good. How does everybody, obviously we end the show. How does everybody want to learn more about UCX? Where do they go?
Absolutely. I encourage you to visit our website, ucxchange.com, and sign up to learn more.
Great. Well, Tim, thanks a lot. It's very interesting. Looking forward to hearing some great things in the future.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
you for
me.
Joining us.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you and thank you both for joining us. Both Apptio and UCX appear to be up to some great things. I think you're going to hear a lot of great things in the future for them. And that wraps up our show. Before we sign off, I just wanted to tell you about a couple of things that we have as we wrap up 2016. First, we're moving into the development period for our second version of the State of Technology Industry Report. We're looking at a core group of supporters for this. We already have a lot of great companies signed up. And this report will be released at the beginning of next year, which is both going to include a snapshot of the tech sector and an update on a lot of the data that we had, but also our tech directory, which features all of our membership companies and the 750 that have joined the organization. This is distributed to our membership, to legislators, and the entire business community. It also has its own website. So it's really a great way to feature your own company as supporting the state's industry report. We're also going to wrap up the year with a handful of program meetings that you'll see on our website. We have meetings in Charlotte, including Emerging Tech and Trends Breakfast on tomorrow, as well as our Knowledge Workforce Network meeting on December 10th. For the Triangle, we have a Cybersecurity Network meeting on December 4th and another Emerging Tech and Trends on the 9th. Finally, as we're starting our planning for 2016, this means there's a new unique opportunity for all of our member companies to secure what they want to do, where they want to be at our events. I'm starting annual investor conversations, which is just your opportunity to lay out your sponsorship investment with the association and the events that you want to be a part of. So you can find my contact information on our site as well and reach out to me directly to discuss. That's all I have here. That concludes our show, and we'll have our podcast available on our website. So be sure to visit nctechnology.org for all of this and future engagements. We'll also be including the podcast on our newsletter coming up at the beginning of next month. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at NCTA and look for our company page on LinkedIn. Again, I'd like to thank my guest, Britt Provost with Apptio, as well as Tim Martin with UCX for being on the show. And we hope to see you at the next one. Thanks.